This is the Krillcast Live. I am Chris.
I'm Will.
And I'm Andrew.
Welcome, welcome, and, everyone.
Yes, welcome, welcome. The thing that Will always gets mad at me for telling him to say, and he still says it. So here we go. Xbox Showcase. Let's get hit it hard and fast, boys, so we can keep some viewers watching.
Yep. One, disappointing.
No, I disagree.
Game Pass.
It was, for me, it was the opposite of disappointing.
Well, there's exciting moments, but overall, I was not expecting the 12-month time frame crap that they were pulling, and just on Game Pass. So I was really hoping for some Halo DLC stuff, even though that was like, you know, hope beyond hope, because that studio is just dying right now. But then I was also hoping for some Fable stuff. I was hoping for some Avowed stuff. I was hoping for some Indiana Jones stuff. I was hoping for some third-party stuff. I was hoping for a lot of other things.
I gotta stop you here. Okay, why, why did they have such a short, not short, but why did all of the lists say 2023? Well, there's a reason why this showcase was only covering certain things.
What was because every time Phil Spencer gets super hyped up on his own shit, and just like
it totally is.
I don't care what any kind of industry logic you're trying to apply to this. It's 100% because Phil Spencer always gets the feedback. You announce all these freaking games and then they never come out. That is why he did this.
This is what I wanted. All right, 1 second. Let me unmute or mute real quick. But basically, it's 12 months worth of games. And so you don't see everything, including Fable, in this showcase. That's all I wanted to say, Will.
Well, I know that. That's what I said. I was upset about that time frame.
You're like, Chris, this place sucks. Xbox.
Hey, he's just high time preference. Anything farther out than 12 months is too far away, especially given the lack of quality in the next 12 months.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing, Will. What I saw here was a lot of stuff that if it wasn't on Game Pass, I would never check it out. But since it is on Game Pass, some of these indie games might actually, you know, get downloaded and played on my Xbox.
I'm honestly giving shit to this. There's actually more games here that I, so when I saw those guys send me 12 months, I was like, oh, I'm going to hate all this because nothing's announced. Like their slate of games sucks. And I'll be honest, it did suck going into this. And afterwards, I'm still not super, super hyped, but there are some games I'm looking forward to, more so than I expected.
Well, it's not the quality, it's the quantity.
See, no. I'd rather have a couple of great games. Well, the end of last year is Starfield, so strong. Man.
Yes, Starfield. That's the only game I even cared about when I saw this list. So
here's one thing that did happen that might, part of this show was about showing Japan that Sony does not own Kojima, does not own Atlas, does not own.
Oh, as soon as they announced the Atlas games, I thought 100% they're going to end the show with saying they bought Sega. I know that's going to be like, I really thought that's how they're going to end it, because like they're trying to buy everyone. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is the day.
Do you understand how long this Sega deal has been going on, where they've been trying to get Persona or anything like Persona on Xbox? When I found out that Soul Hackers was coming to Xbox Series X and Xbox One, I was like, oh, Persona's coming to Xbox. Like, they finally figured this deal out.
Here's my question, though. Does that even matter? Does it really matter that they got it? Like, is it going to make any difference? I feel like it's going back on
there
previous episodes.
There are a lot of people in the camp that buy Sony products for Persona and Atlas franchises.
Yeah.
If they find out that they can get Game Pass and Persona on one machine and not even have to pay for more Persona games, you know how much of that core demographic of JRPG fans will just say, eh, I don't need Final Fantasy. I'm going to move over.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm trying to say is it goes,
I don't need a PS5 anymore if Xbox continues on and steals Persona.
Okay. But I guess it's one of those things where the people who want those games in general still, I feel like, prefer the Sony exclusives.
I prefer Atlas.
I think that, unfortunately, so this is really great. So like, this is going to give me an opportunity to finally play these games. But someone who's already in the PlayStation ecosystem for those games, they're not going to switch. So unfortunately, right.
But if you're a Halo fan like me,
yeah,
the
you
only
might
thing
get
keeping you to PlayStation is
how many? Okay, but how many people really own both consoles? The average, like, how many people, especially in the Japanese market?
It's a lot less this generation than it was in the previous.
I feel like that's gone away.
There's a lot of, I would say a lot of people own an Xbox One, a PS4, and a Switch, but I'd say there's very few people that have an Xbox Series X, a PS5, and a Switch.
I think a lot of people will have a Switch and something else.
But they probably won't have a PS5, an Xbox Series X, and a
Switch. But they're probably
they might have a Series S, though. They might have a Series S.
I feel like having one of all three is kind of pushing it. I feel like it's anyone who's having multiple consoles, it's the Switch with something else, just because the nature of Nintendo being that party, like house party game kind of vibe. But I don't see it doing what they actually want it to do, unless, you know, they're trying to push more people to PC. This is all kind of going back on previous topics we've had, but it's like,
yeah, I think they are trying to push people to a PC or the TV or their phone. I completely agree with you.
In order to not completely go off into the deep end right when we started this podcast, let's go through what are some of your highlights. We'll start
with Will. go up to the top.
Although, let me stop real quick. I expected this, getting Forza Horizon Hot Wheels DLC.
Well, they get it every time.
Every single Horizon game get this. Like, this is
expensive. Honestly, though, it's really fun every single time.
It's a good idea, but
it's stupid, but it's fun at the same time.
Hollow Knight Silk Song is a cool thing too, by the way.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Sorry. Not all the way to the top. So just go scroll through the games. So Redfall is interesting. I like Arkane Studios, so I will definitely try this out. It's not one I was going to buy, but it's on Game
Pass. Didn't they do Deathloop, or was that a different company?
They did do Deathloop. Obviously, I didn't play Deathloop, but they did Dishonored, and that was a good series.
There was a 60-player game that came out, Andrew. I'm hoping that you're interested in that. I'll point it out to you here in a little bit. But,
okay. All right. I'm
excited for the Squanch Games studio project. Obviously, Hollow Knight's really good. So I'm excited.
I actually have not played it. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm not. I have nothing on this one.
So this is from the creator of Rick and Morty, and I have recently gotten into that show, and it's really funny. And the thing is, you have guns that are like made out of bugs or something, and you stuff things in their mouth and they shoot things out of their butts. I'm sold. This is cool. League of Legends. I've never played it, so this is a great opportunity for me.
I'm kind of surprised so League of Legends is coming to PC and mobile. Okay, so PC, it's not coming to
right.
Okay, never mind then.
Makes more sense. And Valorant, that's like, we hear so much about that, so I'm excited to finally play Valorant.
Don't care.
The first Plague Tale is good, you know. it's not a hype game, but I'm still looking forward. Forza, I don't care. I know it's gonna be beautiful. It's gonna look really cool. It's gonna have great.
This is supposed to be the best looking Forza ever, but every single Forza is the best looking Forza ever.
It is. Well, the thing is, they definitely know how to make a good racing simulator. I just don't like racing simulators.
Well, Forza Motorsport is different than Horizon.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that's an open world simulator. Those are much more fun. This one is just, I don't care. I haven't cared since like the N64 days. I don't care.
I could not care less about Overwatch.
No. I don't think anyone cares about the second one.
But it'll probably be Xbox exclusive before too long because it is owned by Activision Blizzard.
Yep.
This one is interesting though. History Untold, it's a turn-based strategy game. So something I would actually be interested in. I just don't know a lot about it, but it's historically periodic. So.
Well, a lot of these games seem to come out of nowhere. So there's a lot of games on here I wasn't expecting because I didn't. Like, they kept them under wraps.
I'm going to check this one out. I don't know if I'll buy it, but I'll definitely Game Pass it for a little bit.
It's definitely a game I would consider.
Yep.
Elder Scrolls Online, don't care.
Nope.
No.
That's
Fallout 76.
Don't care.
This is something I'll try.
I'll try it because it's just dumb fun.
It is super dumb fun, but I love it.
I don't care about this.
Hey, the Halo. But hey, listen, Halo making it into Flight Simulator.
It's like, at least a cool crossover. But at the same time, I don't care.
It's a cool crossover. I'll give them that much.
The thing is, it's beautiful, and Flight Simulator is cool. But yeah, okay, R2.
When you're saying it's beautiful, you're talking about Vin Diesel.
Yes, Vin Diesel is beautiful. Hopefully, they make him height accurate and only have him like 4 feet tall.
So Arc 1 was one of the biggest disasters. Like when you look at the art and what the gameplay is supposed to look like, Arc would be a great game for me. And then when you actually try to play it, that is a dumpster fire of a game. Arc has never run right for me ever. Now, I don't know if it works better on next gen consoles, but the original Arc game was just so bad.
It's so buggy.
Just awful. On the Switch, it should never have even launched. Like, that game should not even be. Like, the fact that they even got it past quality control to get it on the Switch baffles me.
That one never interested me. I'll be completely honest.
Dinosaurs on an island where you're like in a survival thing sounds pretty cool to me. But then I tried.
That's one of those concepts. It's like at first I'm always super interested in it, but this has never been done well. Scorn, I don't care. I don't like worrying.
This is like really freaking weird.
Yeah, I don't like bloody and like hellscape type games.
No, thank you. You played Hellblade.
There is no blood in that game. Well, there might be some, but it has nothing to do with hell.
So Flintlock, that was an interesting one. I probably won't play it, but I did find
Oh, yeah, this is the third-person combat title. Yeah, never mind. That's not what I thought. There's an action RPG. Army.
I'm so over undead. Yes, zombies, whatever it is. It's
so this was interesting to me, too, because this almost looked like you're mixing like Pikmin with a real-time strategy game in a Minecraft world. Because you see, like, when you're running in to go fight things, you have, like, a bunch of, like, little guys behind you. So I'm still interested to see what this finally becomes when it comes out.
I don't like Minecraft, so.
When it first started showing up, I was like, is this going to be, like, Zelda within Minecraft? Oh, wait, they already did that. Atlas did that with 3D Dot Game Heroes. Mm-hmm. But still, I'm surprised there isn't an action-adventure Minecraft game. This is more of, like, a strategy RTS.
Well, did you ever play Minecraft Dungeons?
Yeah, that was more of an arena like fighter thing.
Okay. What about the the campaign one?
No, there was the Telltale thing where it was like a choose your own adventure.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I didn't play that either. There's so many Minecraft things now.
Lightyear Frontier. So this is weird. This is like futuristic farm simulator almost.
I was hyped until I saw the farming part and I'm like, oh, never mind.
Well, somebody wrote There was a bunch of people commenting in the chat during the Xbox showcase. We're like, it's Titanfall Farmville Edition. I was like, yeah, pretty much.
The whole purpose is farming. Am I getting that correctly?
Pretty much, yeah. Robotic agriculture.
What's crazy is how well those games actually sell. Like the farming simulators sell really well.
You know what? Casual games sell really well. They just do. Like people that want to do farming in a futuristic setting, this is the only game.
I don't know. Who are those people?
Remember Why goats, would you want to the do goat that? Simulator?
Yeah. Well, goat simulator was not so much the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
You're bleeding at people like, bleed it.
That was still popular.
Mm-hmm.
This was like, nope, don't care. Like, nope.
Yeah.
I couldn't care less about this game. Like, no offense to the developers, but this is not a game for me. The Last Case of Benedict Fox. So this to me is like an Ori and the Blind Forest style of game.
I like murder mystery games. So
it's a murder mystery, but it's set in the same kind of gameplay loop as Ori and the Blind Forest, where you're like navigating across a giant world.
Hmm.
At least that's the way it looked to me. And he's got powers and stuff.
Microsoft has been hanging out of the park with indie games, and I can't stress enough that even if it looks strange, if it's an indie game on Game Pass, you should try it out. There's so many good ones.
There is. The problem is there's too many, and I can't try them all.
Yes. But they do curate it for you, so you can actually like set it where it's only indies, or you can actually curate it where games only take you like an hour or two complete, and those are the only ones they show you. It's actually really cool.
So this one has intrigued me. I don't know if I'll play it, but I've been following it for a while. It's like a modern, like... It's almost like what they do on PlayStation with like the, what is it, Beyond Two Souls and Detroit Become Human.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's like an Xbox style version of that.
Cool.
So like Xbox has never really had those kind of games. I think they did it with, there was one game that was kind of like that, what, Quantum Break?
Quantum Break.
Yeah.
It was kind of similar to those. So I think it's made by the same studio, but this is actually a brand new studio doing this that's not the same as the, was it Quantic Dream or whatever it is?
It's Quantum Break. I think you had it right.
Yeah, Quantum Break was the game, but I think Quantic Dreams or something is the studio.
I don't remember. They also made Control.
Yeah.
See, the problem with these games, though, is always about, like...
There's no replayability, really.
Well, that and how it's like, do you break from the immersion into it?
Yeah, sometimes you do, and you, like... There's too much of a pause between something or loading or something. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how well this does because I've thought that it's something that Xbox has been lacking for a long time is a game like what they do with like Detroit Become Human and all that. Naraka Blade Point. I don't know anything about this game.
I don't care. The moment you have a giant sword like Final Fantasy, I'm out. I already know what kind of gameplay you're gonna have.
There are some hack and slashers with giant swords like that.
Go back up. That looks just like, was it Cloud or whatever from Final Fantasy VII?
It does not look like Cloud. Cloud has short hair. It's not dark like that.
Oh my gosh, he has the same sword. Oh my gosh,
that's the only difference you got.
Yeah.
His hair is different.
Pentiment is a narrative-heavy adventure that stays on script.
Oh, is this by the small studio at Obsidian?
It's developed by Obsidian, yeah. So yeah, it is.
I'm really interested in this one then. I'm trying to think that what the guy who leads that studio, I think he's the one behind what is Obsidian really known for? Like Pillars of Eternity and
KOTOR 2. No, I'm
KOTOR 2. No, I think that might be it's the guy who led those two games, those two develop projects.
Was he involved in New Vegas or no?
Yeah, New Vegas. That's the one I'm thinking of. So he led that team, and I think this is the guy who's leading this one.
Oh, that might be more interesting than I initially thought.
Yeah.
So this is a game I could not care less about. Like, I know a lot of people are excited for this, but I just don't care.
It's actually kind of fun. It's only a game I would play because it's on Game Pass, and that's exactly my first thought when it was first announced, like last year when they had the beta or whatever. I was saying, this is so dumb. No one's gonna like this. This is the dumbest concept, and then it blew up. So clearly, we don't know what people want.
I'm not saying that people won't want it. I just don't care.
It is like, wildly popular, and it was just in a beta.
Right. I mean, a good grab for Xbox to get something extremely different from the rest, but like...
Yeah, well, it's a super tiny studio. It's only like 20... Or studio. It's a super small team inside of Obsidian.
That makes Grounded?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was like an Obsidian game.
Yeah, it's like 20 people or something.
See, that's how much I don't care about it.
Yeah.
I didn't even know Obsidian made it. Erebin Shadow Legacy. I'm trying to remember which one was the massive multiplayer game. There was like 60 players in an arena type game. I don't remember what it was. I'll have to find it. Erebin Shadow Legacy. This looked interesting. It was like a weird, like futuristic droid game where you're like the shadow taking down droids. It almost gave me vibes of like ReCore and Metroid Prime a little bit, but it's set in a city and not in like a giant relic of a futuristic shrine or place or whatever you want to call it, like what the Metroid games are. So we'll have to see how this one turns out. Could end up being completely different, but it just gave me very Metroid-y vibes. Oh yeah, Diablo 4. So this is going to be Xbox exclusive, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Are you a Diablo fan, Chris?
I'm not, but I know people have been waiting for this forever. Like ever since Diablo Immortal, you know.
Yeah, I've never played Diablo, but I actually will try this one. So technically, it's not exclusive yet because they haven't fully bought, not Bethesda, but Blizzard.
Activision Blizzard.
Yeah.
But I will say all the comments during the showcase in the chat were, watch out for monetization, going to cost $110,000 to finish the game. Because Diablo Immortal reportedly would cost you $110,000 to unlock
it. It's actually more than that. So that's only if you are extremely lucky throughout. If you're not lucky, it's like closer to $500,000. And if you do it without paying, it takes you 10 years to get all the way leveled up, which is just insane. How is that possible?
I mean, if you love the game, like that's actually a pretty good proposition for
me. No, it isn't. It's a terrible proposition. It's so terrible. Like
I can see 4 years. I could see 4 years of gameplay.
No.
Terrible. No, 4 years.
Well,
like, 4 years is very.
If you enjoy that style of game, why do you care if it takes you 1 year or 10 years to finish it?
Because you know there's no way that you'd be happy to get.
In fairness,
Halo Infinite is a 10-year game plan. Will.
No, that's different though, because they're like you can beat it and you can choose to buy the DLC later. Totally different concept.
Okay, I'm just messing with you, anyways. All right.
Sorry, see Andrew. If these, I realize season, 4 years seven. Is better.
I'm just saying I could see 4 years, like, because the next game's not coming out in that time frame. As long as you can play the game in a reasonable amount of time before the next game comes out, I think it's fair.
Okay.
Sea of Thieves Season 7, I am interested in. I'm enjoying the game more.
Yeah, every time they add more stuff to it, it does get better. This is my perfect example of a live service game. Like, the base game is really fun. You can't pay to beat anybody. It's all cosmetic crap. So you don't have to do anything. You don't have to pay for anything. And it's just loads of fun. And also, every single update is free. So right. Every time there's an expansion, mm-hmm. if there's like new campaign missions, all of it's free. It's wonderful.
After playing that Jack Sparrow campaign, I have to say I'm really enjoying Sea of Thieves
a lot.
And we need to reboot
there's that like new mini campaigns that like when you first look at it, like, oh, it's stupid, it's a mini campaign. But it's really nice because you can do it within like an hour, and then you're set up for the next like week or whatever for the next one. It's great.
Mm-hmm. That is actually pretty cool.
Yeah. Especially when you're playing other games, it's great.
This was one of my highlights of the show, was finding out they have more Sea of Thieves kind of content coming.
The other thing, too, with that, with the mini campaign, it's like you're constantly having to fight for the low attention span.
Yep.
So it's like something that's very achievable, because even I'll say myself, like I've struggled with some of the bigger games to just get through that in a good
open world RPGs. Yeah. And it's just like every time I think about it, it's like, oh, this can't take me like 60 hours. I just don't have the time.
Because you can just easily get sunk into something that's completely pointless.
I'm still playing through Act 2 of The Witcher 2 before I get there.
Yep.
I'm trying to get there.
Well, it's the same thing. Like, you know, I'll be like, oh, I can't play this game. It's going to take me 6 hours. And then I'll put in like 30 hours into Fable 3 again.
Yeah.
Like, but you know what you're doing. There's no
you go to the game that you already know because it's like, oh, I want to at least achieve something.
Probably the most adventurous I've been was actually playing the original Witcher on PC and struggling through that 200-hour obscene-filled gameplay for me. And eventually finishing that so I could start The Witcher 2. My goodness, that game is a mess to try and play if you like controllers.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. Just play with mouse and keyboard. Make your life way better. But Witcher 2 is really, really fun. I wish I wish they just did like a remastered console version of the trilogy.
Yep. I would love for that to get on the Switch or on the Xbox or something.
Yeah, exactly. So Ravenlack. Looks like Alice in Wonderland. No, it looks like I'm on an acid trip. That's what it looks like.
Probably is inspired by.
I don't think I saw this trailer one, actually.
I remember it. It was just kind of a really short one. But it looks like Legend of Zelda on acid to me.
I'm definitely in.
Cocoon is a new game from Limbo's Jeff Carlson. I don't actually know who that is. But
I was not a huge fan. It's not like I didn't like this trailer very much, but... It wasn't for me, I guess.
As soon as I saw it, it was like the Men in Black marbles thing that you see at like the end of Men in Black 2 or whatever. And it's like the world and the galaxy is inside this marble, inside of this marble, inside of this marble. Like, no, this is just Inception and Men in Black don't need to go together. Woe Long, Fallen Dynasty. So it's a Team Ninja game. So that's interesting because Xbox hasn't had a lot of Team Ninja games. So I'm curious.
Well, everyone was hoping for Ninja Gaiden or Gaiden.
And is this the first one that they're doing with Team Ninja? Because don't they own Team Ninja now?
I don't know if they own Team Ninja. They own Ninja Theory.
Oh, Ninja Theory. That's right. So Team
Ninja
still
does Ninja Gaiden, and that was an exclusive game. And I think the second one was exclusive as well, but not the third one.
Yeah.
Anyway, people are hoping for either a remaster or a Ninja Gaiden 4, and they're bringing out this game instead. So I'm interested because like Ninja Gaiden's a good series. It's super freaking hard, and I suck at it. But... still good. And also, that's where the Hayabusa helmet comes from. So you got to love it.
Crossover with Halo.
Yep.
So this was about the time I really tuned in. Because I was kind of watching it like halfway. And then I saw Atlas flash across the screen. And I was like, what? Hold up. What?
This is the only thing you really care about, Chris. Let's be honest.
No. I cared about Sea of Thieves and a couple other games prior.
Chris is like, I'm ready to put that 500 hours in a Persona 5 Royal again.
No.
Completely different experience.
What I'm more interested in is it doesn't state it's exclusive. It just said it was coming to Game Pass. So I'm guessing these are probably coming to the PS5, PS4, and maybe the Nintendo Switch. We don't know yet. But the fact that it's coming day one to Game Pass means Microsoft's coming out swinging.
Yep. Well, I think this is still the biggest selling point. You don't need to have exclusive games if people can just get it for free in the service they already have.
So the next question is,
not free, Will.
Are we getting physical
copies? The service you're already paying for, you're just getting the game stuff.
Are we going to get physical copies of these games on Xbox? That's the real question, because I'm curious if we'll get physical copies or not.
Limited run will do it.
I hope not. Please don't. This is like not because I hate limited run, but because these games should get a standalone retail release if you're going to do it. Otherwise, make them digital only. My personal opinion.
I don't have an opinion.
I just don't like limited run. Doesn't even do Xbox, do they?
They do now.
They do now. Okay,
They just released the first one. I think it was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I think.
Oh, that one's the first one. Okay, so Konami partnering up with them for that. Okay, that makes sense. I know that the biggest issue they ran into trying to do Xbox games on limited run was that the amount of Xbox discs they had to print to make it worth
10,000
was more than that. It was like when it first started, it was like 25,000 or 50,000 was the minimum.
Well, maybe they lowered it.
I think it's more for Xbox
because the Xbox doesn't produce their own discs.
It's because of the Mexico factor or something, right?
Yeah, Sony produces their own discs. Xbox does not because they don't
own the Blu-ray technology. Yeah, you have to buy a certain number of discs from the manufacturer, and it's like in increments of 10,000. Well,
and you have to print a certain number too to make it worthwhile to manufacture it.
Yep.
Unless you're doing it direct from like Sony's production facility, which is what Limited Run has pretty much done, is just work directly with Sony and their partners for the PlayStation. But I don't know. This will be interesting because this is the first time that any of the Persona games have left Sony consoles. At all.
Yeah. I'm excited for this just because it widens the audience of who it can experience this. And, you know, the Xbox needs some Japanese love. So,
yeah. And this is when I saw Soul Hackers 2 was coming to Xbox Series X and Xbox One. I was like, Persona's coming. We just don't know when. It's definitely coming. See, now, the real question is, why didn't Persona 4 Arena Ultimax come to the Xbox as well? That makes no sense.
Yo, Chris, see this more as a shot at Steam.
No, it's coming to Steam too, I think.
Well, I'm saying like Xbox trying to just have everything now.
Oh, I mean,
this is them trying to be the streaming service for everything.
But putting it so let's just say that these games are coming to Sony and they are coming to Nintendo and Steam. Let's just say they are just default. That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Putting on Game Pass day one lowers the bar for people to want to go buy these games elsewhere. Like if you have access to these on Game Pass and you're not collecting the Persona series like me, what's the motivation to go out and buy it if it's free on the service day one?
There is none, honestly. Exactly. It's going to undercut a lot of the others. I'll agree to that completely. It's the whole point is to undercut your
I think this is a shot at everybody, especially the Japanese manufacturers like Nintendo and Sony, because these are usually a Sony or Japanese exclusive franchise, and now they're coming to the American console.
Yeah, well, Xbox is selling really well this generation in Japan, and also so is Game Pass. So, I mean, this could just be targeting specifically Japanese gaming market.
It could be. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that Microsoft isn't trying to move in on the Japanese market. I'm saying that this is showing everybody in the world that they can get Japanese franchises that are normally locked to a Japanese console onto the American system.
I think this is going to push Sony and Nintendo to double down on their iron curtains a little bit, because they're going to have to really focus on developing exclusives to compete with what Game Pass is doing.
Because Persona is historically a Sony franchise.
Yeah. Because with Game Passes, they're going to try to undercut anything that's not an exclusive. Anything that's third party, they're going to try to get on there so that they don't get those sales for their competitors.
And then Shin Megami Tensei, the other big Atlus franchise that's its own thing, was historically Nintendo and Sony, and now only Nintendo. So like Nintendo had Shin Megami Tensei, and then Sony had Persona. Well, now this changes the whole game. And with Soul Hackers coming to Xbox, who knows what else Atlus will put on Xbox consoles going forward?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if that Xbox Game Pass money's, you know, good for them.
Hey Chris, what knows? Xbox? It's gonna go away. They're not gonna keep it. It's gonna just be PC.
I've got a PC.
Shut up, Andrew.
I'll have my Steam Deck by then. Got that Steam Deck money coming? No. All right. How about this? Kojima. This is another shot at Japanese market. They got Kojima making an exclusive game for the Xbox.
It's going to be weird.
Hopefully it's not Death Stranding weird, because I couldn't get into that one.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be a walking simulator. This time it'll be a swimming simulator.
You're just like cruising through Pangaea, trying not to get eaten by a mosasaur.
Well, that's way too exciting.
I just watched Prehistoric on the Apple service. And
oh, yeah.
That's where my brain's at with that mosasaur Pangaea comment.
When are they going to raise the price of Game Pass? That's my question. It has to be coming.
Phil Spencer said it wasn't going to get raised. Think about it. The delivery system for it, like, what do they have to do? The internet's already there.
I guess the question is,
when does the content become too expensive to continue on? Yeah, I don't know.
When is the content too expensive? Because I feel like they're really throwing out a lot of money.
I've kind of thought that for a while. Paid
for it. This is clearly audience capture period. You know, it's like...
Well, I don't know, because it's an interesting business model, because I feel like the more subscribers you have, like normally the more customers you have, the more expensive your product becomes. So you have an expanding price model where you have to increase your prices. But with this, like Chris said, there is no delivery method. You don't have to pay for that. So like the more customers you have, you're already paying. I wonder what the threshold is. Where, like, if you have 15 million subscribers, it doesn't matter how much you're paying on acquiring studios, because you're just making bank at that point. Mm. Where so like everything past that is, you know, again, you never have to increase the prices because you are making so much money already.
Yeah, I think if Netflix had an unlimited number of subscribers, they wouldn't have to increase prices. They probably would for the profit, but they don't have.
See, but that's the thing. Netflix continuously got more expensive and has
it's continued because they to get kept more hiring like more expensive actors.
No, but so, that's like, because they were idea. Trying. That's because they were trying to do top level movies that would actually win awards, like that would get a nomination for anything to compete with the traditional studios, right? So how is that any different than what my
Netflix started off at like $8 or something like that. And then raise up to $15. Microsoft's already at $15.
But even then, right? Like, they've flirted with even higher prices. They're flirting now with ads. And
Andrew, the way they keep the cost where it's at is by maintaining the library and IPs they bought, but shutting down studios or trimming fat when it doesn't make them more money. I think that you're going to see is Microsoft.
Have we ever talked about that?
I think what you're going to see is Microsoft in a couple of years down the road will decide which studios are making the money and which studios aren't, and it'll be all business decisions from then on.
Yeah, I feel like it's a scary amount of power for Microsoft in that regard.
This is why I don't like Game Pass long term.
Yeah,
because Microsoft announced its most profitable year ever Xbox division announces most profitable year ever because of Game Pass. So again, I don't know how that pricing model works. And I don't know how much they're spending for these studios. I don't know how much they're spending to get these exclusives from third-party studios. But they're making, they have like, what, 40 million subscribers now? And they're making at least $10 a month off that.
Well, so I guess
400 million a month.
Yeah, but look at how much money you would traditionally make per game that's released, right? Like, you think $15 a month is going to be better than them selling a $60 game?
Yeah, I can definitely say for me, because I'm definitely spending more now than I was before, because I would buy probably a game a year because I'd be choosy because it's $60. But the idea of having a bunch of games and I'm only spending $15 a month, it's I realize this ends up being more expensive, but you see the value seems better. I think a lot of people are the same. Other than like the sports people who kept buying the same sports game and stuff.
I don't know, man. I feel like three games a year.
Oh yeah. So I can definitely say I would buy Fable. I would buy a Halo game.
How many games would you buy every year?
That.
About three games.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what's worth more?
So a paying customer buy
$15 a month all year long every year, or somebody who is buying three games and then reselling them, because then you've lost money on the reseller. if somebody resells, so if I bought Halo Infinite day one and then I resold it, that $60 I spent is now more like 30 or more. Like,
also, I'm not disagreeing with you. They're going to raise the price. I don't know when that threshold is, and I don't have a good prediction on that.
See, I guess my thing is, I feel like a large number of people out there, especially when you look at how many people game who are college and high school, right? I feel like three games a year is underselling how much money they make off of some of those people. I feel like there's, well, definitely more than that.
There's another thing is, like, a lot of the games that are in Game Pass, you can also do microtransactions. So you're also hitting that younger generation where they're not only spending, say, the same price for three games a year, but they're also buying all the extra cosmetic crap.
Right. But okay, I guess what I'm trying to say is, I feel like three games is low. I feel like people buy more than three games, would buy more than three games in a year. You got, let's just say a typical year. You got Madden. You have all the sports games that get released. Mm-hmm. So a decent number of people will buy probably two of those. Let's just say they buy Madden and FIFA. That's two game, or Madden and 2K, the NBA game, right? Mm-hmm. So right there, you got two games. They just have to buy one more game. Let's say Call of Duty. Right there, that's three games. They're probably guaranteed, a large portion of the gaming community is guaranteed to buy every year. Mm-hmm. They only have to buy one more game, and they're going to be already exceeding what Game Pass already does.
But think about what their
DLCs.
You're forgetting what Phil Spencer said about Game Pass, though. So he was not going after that market. He's going after that billion other people who are playing on their cell phones and on, like, casual gaming, casual gamers. That's who he wants.
Yeah, and I guess what I'm trying to say is, I'm questioning if they're losing money. Hey, Andrew,
this is the 60-player game. I just found out this is the 60-player game.
It looks awful.
Anyways, it's nutty, so you won't buy it anyways.
No, but
hey, before we drop down to this Game Pass deep dive that we've been doing like 6 weeks in a row now,
Starfield. It's the only game that I actually thought looked super interesting.
I'm going to check it out.
This looks to me like what No Man's Sky was supposed to be. When No Man's Sky was announced, this is what I thought it would be. Like, civilization, colonization, space travel, interaction with other people, potentially.
That's another good live service game that I don't understand how they make money on.
No Man's Sky?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's been selling for like 8 years and it's still selling. And on top of that, they have managed to create a engine that basically builds worlds as you go. So like
they have so many new expansions. It's a great game. There's so much in it, but they keep announcing huge expansions every year.
When you have AI generated worlds, you can make a quick expansion.
It doesn't matter. You can do as much as you want, the
entire galaxy.
As much as you want, but if there's no money coming in, how are you going to do that?
Tweaking code to make new AI generated worlds.
You still need to eat, Chris.
It's not that difficult to do.
It's like, I can push buttons all I want. I still need to
eat. It's also not a live service game, technically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it kind of is. There's updates.
It's kind of, I mean, there's updates, yes, but updates doesn't mean live service.
This game definitely kind of came off, though, as like a more real, like what you would expect from a more realistic Star Wars style game, or a kind of like The Expanse as a game. That storyline.
We're gonna get benders. We're gonna get the benders.
But okay, I'm concerned because I hate the fact that they show us a barren world for like most of the gameplay. It's like the easiest thing to hide. Well, any
maybe they didn't want to give away all the best stuff they have.
Maybe let's be positive.
They did say in a tweet after they launched this footage that they have more footage to show.
But okay, didn't they talk about like thousands of planets and stuff? And I was under the impression that they talked about how there's all super loads of planets, right? And it's like, I'm concerned what these planets are going to be like. Because you can, yes, I am. The thing that I'm trying to say is, this game feels like it could quickly just be very empty feeling.
Yeah,
and that's my concern, because it's like the story that, like, the scenario that they're trying to paint with, like, all of these available planets to colonize, all, like, where is civilization in this? I just want answers, because it's like, either you have a ton of different, like, factions and people living on all these different planets, or they're going to be a bunch of empty random planets that you're just going to feel like, why, what am I doing? I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm very hesitant.
I'm not gonna lie, optimistic. When I saw that this was coming to Xbox, I totally stopped watching for a little bit and came back to Starfield later on. So, like, I didn't watch the Starfield thing until like an hour later, so I didn't miss all the comments on this. So I don't know if Andrew is in alignment with the majority opinion on this game, but I must say, yeah, seeing a barren dark world really reminds me of Fallout. And I have such a bad taste in my mouth from Fallout 76 that I hope this game is nothing like Fallout.
And the problem is, I don't think it should be the vibe of Fallout. Like, that's the thing. Like, you have all of these planets to explore and, like, all of this opportunity.
You mean every planet shouldn't be a nuclear wasteland?
Yeah. Like, if you have
all this... What's the fun in that?
But, like, it seems like you got pirates, so there has to be some prosperity to attack. There seems like there has to be, like, they showed a capital city, it looked like, that was pretty cool looking. But, you know, it seems like this should be a more, like, land of opportunity expansion type of vibe. Mm-hmm. And when you decide to highlight a barren planet with some stupid pirates, I don't know.
Maybe that's what they had ready to go.
Yeah, maybe. But they talk about outposts and stuff, so it seems like it could be a very empty game. And that's the part that concerns
space
me.
Is probably pretty empty in the era that this is going on.
Chris,
well, what is the era?
Forest, like, and color and stuff.
Yeah, you want to land on era? You want to land on a ring world somewhere.
Yes.
I heard there might be a hidden ring world in this game.
With a strange lady that was abducted by an alien race who seduces me.
No, we're not going to do the Halo TV series today, okay?
But okay,
what's up, Rubio?
When they have this talk of outposts and stuff, right? It really makes you feel like this game will have a lot of empty planets. So then I just, like, I'm super curious about, like, the level of tech and the fact that what is that going to manifest as?
So you're saying, like, maybe discoverability of, like, the actually populated and settled worlds might not be, or might be a selling point, because you would want that to be front and foremost and front running on the game, because if you don't see any of that stuff, it's not going to be very interesting.
Right. Like, okay. So yeah, I mean, like, think of Skyrim and stuff with Elder Scrolls. They'll show you all the different towns.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's always villages and stuff. You never get that far without.
Maybe you'll be able to buy locations in the galaxy for $1 a piece to find these worlds that are actually populated.
Yes. Yeah.
Bethesda.
I see you in the chat, Chris. Okay. I understand.
Huh? No, that's Will.
That's me.
Oh, fine.
It's been Will this whole time.
Will. No, but okay. Come on, Will. You have to admit.
I totally agree with you. It's just, that's the part that I hate the most.
Is that you're agreeing with him?
Yeah, that he, like, always, every week is so cynical, but it's like, man, probably right.
We'll see what these comments are. Last gen is like Uncharted 4, Thief's End, Last of Us 2, I need these games. This gen is all about Xbox and Game Pass. Interesting. Very average show. Scoring Diablo 4 look cool. So clearly this person is in that genre of stuff.
Okay.
Better than Sony's third-party show, but still not great. So he's in the same boat as you. I'm actually very confused. Not too much was shown off in R2 cinematic trailer, but as you expect for a game that stars Vin Diesel, family is everything. It's a Fast and the Furious movie reference. Oh, yeah, exactly. Obviously. This was the last chance to see if Capcom would show Dragon's Dogma 2, and it was a no-show. Kind of meh showcase, but we knew that going in, as there wasn't going to be any bomb drop news unless you count Kojima.
Oh yeah, I was also hoping.
I mean, but Persona was a bomb drop news.
Chris, no one else cares. Whatever, on average, no offense.
I did get confused when they did Lightyear Frontier, because I was like, oh, is this a Buzz Lightyear game?
I was also confused.
Let's see here. Vin, here we got Spencer jumping in. Vin was better than The Rock in IMAX, I can confirm. All right, let's see here. Oh, just for fun, let's see if Spencer messaged me back to jump in. All right. I'm gonna send him an invite. Do you guys care if Spencer joins in? He might have some things to say. Sure. I know Andrew's got to drop off at some point, but in the meantime, we can bring on Spencer too. Let me send an invite to our friend Spencer, since he's listening. If I can figure out how. There it is, invite. You guys keep talking. I'm going to handle this.
Sorry. I'm going to tweak my neck somehow. I'm getting too excited about Vin Diesel.
I think you're all in on Game Pass, aren't you, Will?
What was the biggest miss for you? What was the biggest miss?
The missing games. I desperately want Fable. That's all I freaking want. I also wanted to see Avowed, and I want them to announce some games. Like, for the longest time, they've been sitting on like the old Rare IPs. And we're getting those rumors about a remake of 007, so I was excited about that.
That is still like a huge rumor, and I don't know if that's happening or not.
Well, they had the achievements listed on the website, so it's like it's a real game. Just announce the damn thing already and give it to us.
It's going to get its own 007 showcase where they're going to bring back the actor that played 007 and... You know, Nintendo Robinson, and Microsoft and EA are going to have a giant, party pleasures going on.
Oh, gosh.
I also want them to give some details on the Initiatives game.
Yeah, that needs to happen.
What is that? It's another Rare title. Why can't
Perfect
I think
Dark.
It's Perfect Dark. Because I'm convinced that game is not going to come out now. So I want them just to talk about it.
Hey, Chris, you know what the biggest miss was?
The fact that I'm waiting for Spencer to join?
No, the biggest miss was that there was absolutely no reason to buy an Xbox in that entire reveal. Yeah. If you have a PC, there's no reason to buy one. And also the biggest miss for Starfield is the fact that the gameplay footage is all from a barren effing planet. Okay, that's right. The biggest miss.
Yeah, I want to welcome Spencer onto this cynical podcast we're having today.
Hey, you guys hear me okay?
Absolutely. Yeah,
so I do find it funny. I'm out and about, and so I can't do video yet. But I did want to pop in because I guess I disagree with like two major points that like this I felt was not perfect by any means, but definitely one of like the best Xbox shows they've done in a long time. Ooh. Of like utilizing their first parties in a way that was surprising. Getting third parties that we'd wanted to see or looked interesting, at least for the most part. Obviously, those are all never going to be all hits or misses. But as someone who like bought an Xbox last year, 90% for Halo, this show did a really good job of making me be like, oh, I can't wait to boot up my Series X. Because like I never want to play on PC. The Series X is a really good console that helps me not ever want to touch my PC. Mm. So like the fact that I now have stuff like that new game, and I'm like still waking up. So I forget whatever the new game from Obsidian looks great. Not the like one coming out of early access, like the like kind of artsy 2D one. No. The Obsidian one that just.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Is that like novel one?
Well, it's probably more like a 2D like adventure game more than a novel. But yeah, like I
was that one.
Yes, I was really surprised about that. Mm-hmm. What was it? Scorn, I've been following forever. So I think Scorn coming out exclusive Game Pass and right before Halloween, that'll be perfect. Because as the Summer Game Fest showed us, there's a million horror games in development. Not a lot are this year or before Halloween. So, like, as hyped as I am for Callisto, I think Scorn right before Halloween is, like, a super big get.
Yeah, I'm excited for Callisto as well.
So, like, I'm excited about that. And obviously, Chris, I had to come in and defend you as well.
Don't do it.
There's a reason Philly Spencer, no relation, Phil Spencer over here saved Persona for the third to last announcement.
Oh, yeah.
Like that popped off in a really big way. Also, I'm sorry, I got to talk about this because I'm probably one of the three people who care. I love that Phil Spencer, when in his tour of begging for Japanese developers to be on Xbox, I love that he went to Koei Tecmo. I love that he got Team Ninja, and they literally were like, what if we gave you Neo, but we can't give you Neo because that's exclusive to Sony. What if we just gave you Chinese Neo? And he said, fuck it, let's go. Because honestly, that is literally what it is. It's Team Ninja. It's just going to be Chinese Neo, but that's fine. Because Neo is amazing. And the fact that like I popped off in a way that I shouldn't for seeing Lu Bu for the millionth time. Seeing Lu Bu in that trailer, I was like, oh, baby, let's go.
Okay, Spencer, the question that's on my mind, and I'm sure you're wondering the same thing unless you have insider information, and I don't. Do you think there'll be any physical discs produced for Persona on Xbox? Are you thinking or are you disconnected? Uh-oh.
He's disconnected.
Am I still here?
You're still here. Okay, good. I can hear
you now. Sorry, I moved the thing. I have heard no plans right now for Persona 5 because that's going to launch only on... Like, right now, the plan is only Xbox. Obviously, things could change. We could find there's also a PS5 version or a Switch version or whatever, or a cloud version or Stadia version. Who knows? But as of right now, there's no plans for Persona. But they were really surprised with how well Soul Hacker sold out. And I wouldn't be surprised if they just do a exclusive to their store version because they know their fans want it. And hey man, if you told me, hey, there's 5,000 P5R copies for like $30 or $40 or whatever on their store, and it's just that green box, I'd buy it just because I'm like, hey, this is a cool thing that, like, also, yo, the cojones on Phil Spencer being like, we finally brought back this long missing from Xbox franchise. Like, welcome back to the Xbox family, Persona. As if their last game wasn't Ultimax. Like, we know we've kept you fighting game fans ready, so here you go. 5, 4, and 3. So 5 is definitely not coming physically, or at least not planned right now. But I could see that changing because of how big this announcement was for them. 3 and 4 is definitely coming physically, but that's only because I know that's also coming to Switch and PlayStation.
You know for a fact?
Yeah, I mean, I've known, like, that's why, like, I loved all the people who were like, damn it, Spencer, why did it have to be portable? You warned us for years. Why couldn't
I pretty much knew they're not going to be able to give people Fest because there's no direct party control. Like, yeah, I think we all knew
they would have to go in and actually work on making those games more modern, which would just take more time and money.
Because they basically just used AI upscaling for all the graphics in 3 Portable.
Oh, I have to ask everyone who's not Chris, unless Chris, you have a hot take from this. What was it like seeing Phil Spencer as one of his final announcements show a PlayStation Portable game just up-res? Like, oh yeah, baby. Show me those menus. Show me those 240p character models in 4K.
It looked exactly like my PSP emulator on my computer when I tried to upscale on there.
I love all the people who are working on that port. It is literally just the PSP game running in a 4K.
I would love it if they would actually take the time to add the answer to it, but they won't.
Oh, I know. A lot of copium on online. Well, they could add more. They could.
They won't.
They could.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I said. This is just the full game already done being converted. But, you know, it's not like they have to start from scratch with either of these games. Any of these games, really. Mm-hmm. Golden is a perfect mess of an awesome game, and it's ready to go. My biggest thing is, clearly these are all coming to Steam, too. At some point, they just won't be day one game passes means that Xbox users get them for free.
No, definitely. Give me one second. I'm going to try something because I think when I go into background, I get cut off real quick. So please kill some.
And then it's like ends it. Like, no,
yeah, mind. Yeah, that was part of the, yeah, kill 30 seconds. It'll look like I'm leaving, but I'll be right back.
Okay. What I was going to say was, are you guys going to try these games at all?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Nah.
I'll try it. I'm not putting 500 hours into this.
Then you don't want to play Royal, because that was about 250 for me.
This literally means nothing to me, Chris. That's the thing.
I didn't think you cared that much, because you didn't even play it on the Vita, and that was one of the reasons to own a Vita.
I was disappointed with the Vita, because one of the main games that sold me never released. Okay.
BioShock?
No. Remember, which one was that? That dungeon one where like the it was like Lair, not Lair.
It was like Lair though, wasn't it?
It was like Rune or something. It was some weird game where you and your friends could like go raid each other's dungeon concepts. It's like you had your own dungeon.
Sounds yeah.
But like it was a game that was supposed to release on PlayStation 3 and Vita and have like pick up and go features. Okay. That was back when they were still thinking that the 3G Vita was going to be popular for some and actually practical. So, yeah.
What I would love to see with the Persona releases, Spencer, my personal opinion, is like when they do the 3 and 4, if they just made a 3-disc bundle with 5 Royal in it somehow.
The only reason there won't be like a third, like a 3-game bundle, that's why I was actually so surprised they announced all 3 at once today. Because there's no reason to sell 3 of them together because it's just going to kind of either... Because it's like... You're basically selling a 300-hour game if you bundle all 3 of those together. So, like, putting those on Game Pass makes a lot of sense. That's also another reason why they all didn't drop at once today. I saw a lot of people like, why are you doing 5 first? 5 is going to shut up the most people.
Yeah.
So, like, outside of shadow dropping 3 and 4 and 5 for the fall... I think if Xbox is one of their few big holiday exclusives was a PlayStation Portable and Vita game, might not have looked the best. Stealing one of Sony's biggest exclusives, that's big. Like, that's a way bigger pop for them than like, I think people were expecting. So, like, I think that's why you're going to see P5R on its own doing its own thing on Game Pass. And then 3 and 4 will come out around the same time and probably be called, like, the anniversary bundle or something. Even though we're going to be 2 years after the anniversary by the time it finally comes out.
Oh, for sure. I mean, no doubt. Like, there'll be some kind of a commemorative piece with this. I'm almost positive.
You can smell the steelbook already. You know it's waiting somewhere in China on a slow boat.
Just getting over here. Don't make it a $200 thing with a... Like, you know, I don't need a plushie personally.
No.
Persona, I don't want the Soul Hacker treatment.
Persona will like selling 3 and 4 at retail for like $30 or $40. That's gonna move copies more than something like Soul Hackers will. I'll say this, man, with how gung ho they are into Atlas, I am kind of amazed they didn't at least mention Soul Hackers. Obviously, they still might. My gut tells me when we get closer to that's also gonna be on Game Pass. Just because I'm like. They still keep advertising it with the Microsoft Game Store, which they've never advertised on any of their games before.
Oh, yeah. And you point out the banner earlier today changed. Like, to me, the biggest, like, you know, middle finger to the Japanese companies was the fact that they got Persona to Xbox. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the biggest FU to all the Japanese. And honestly, you know it's because the Series
honestly,
S.
I honestly wouldn't even call it an FU. I feel like, honestly, more than anything, to me, it just felt like a... Like, think about it. Like, this, at this point now, Xbox has gotten the big with Square Enix, the medium with Atlus and Namco with, like, Tales and stuff. And they've got a couple of, like, indie RPGs and stuff with it. But, like, for the most part, there's not, like, that one big series that's not on Xbox anymore.
Well, I mean, Final Fantasy 16 is a Sony exclusive, so maybe this was their kickback.
Listen, we've got Stranger of Paradise on Xbox. I don't know what more you need from me.
What do you think of Game Pass, Spencer?
I like Game Pass, but I'm a weird consumer for Game Pass, where I have Game Pass Ultimate for like a year. I got that gifted to me. I think it is a great value, but it is definitely, as someone who collects games physically, it's a weird kind of deter for big games where, like, even if a game I wanted still came to Game Pass day one, I would still buy it physically. But I know there are so many people, like, I'm the minority. I know most people are like, hey, that's awesome. If that's on Game Pass, I have no reason to buy it. Or, but to be fair, there's also that middle ground of people who, because remember, you can always buy any game on Game Pass at like a 20% off discount. I think people always forget about that. And Microsoft always mentions, hey, people buy Game Pass games. They're not just like only playing them. I like Game Pass. I think Game Pass works for those situations, like I mentioned with Scorn, with a lot of their first party stuff that might not be big enough for retail or for other things like Flight Sim. Flight Sim is one that like I'd like to buy that physically, but I just keep like not. I look at it in stores. I'm like, I don't know, $60 Flight Sim, but to like take up like 100 gigs of my hard drive space and check it out for a little bit, like to fly around in like a silly Halo ship and whatnot today, like that stuff's fun. I like that with Game Pass. Man, I don't know if you all mentioned it too much, but I feel like because it was really early in the show, people might have forgotten about it. I don't think there's enough words to really explain how big of a deal it is they got that Silk Song trailer. But man, if they had nailed a date, I think that would have made it bigger. It was great they showed it because that game has been silent for so long, and that coming on Game Pass is a big deal. Because I feel like Silk Song's always been that game that people are like, oh, that's going to be at a Nintendo Direct. That's who's going to get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You think that was their shot at Nintendo because they took one of the biggest games that's coming to Nintendo?
Dude, I literally woke up in a fever dream because my sleep schedule's all over the place. Have you guys talked about what wasn't there yet? Because there's one game that I got hit an hour ago, and I was like, where the hell was this game?
Fable?
No, Fable I knew. Fable I knew and Avowed I knew wasn't going to be there. what the hell is up with GoldenEye?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I brought that up. That. Yeah.
Yeah, where is that game?
It leaked. It's done. It's huge. Like, now I'm wondering, like, what is this like now? Is this a not published by Microsoft game?
Maybe not.
Well, they have that second showcase on Tuesdays, and they're supposed to be new reveals. So maybe that's not where
Game
Pass.
They were like, Phil Spencer said, I'll show a PlayStation Portable game, but you'll be damned if I show an N64 game on this game.
That is where I draw the line.
No way. No, I think GoldenEye, I think what's going to happen with that, I think the amount of nostalgia with that game will sell enough copies that it would be worthwhile to not be on Game Pass day one.
No. That's 100% Game Pass day one. I'll place my foot in the sand there. There is no way in hell Microsoft is putting that game on their platform and not putting that on Game Pass.
Maybe Nintendo bought the rights to reveal it then.
I would believe that because the rumor has always been it'll be on Xbox and HD, and the classic will be on Nintendo 64 Online.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hey, your mic is kind of, I don't know if it's just me, but it kind of sounds kind of fizzly.
It might be because I'm half ordering and half trying to hurry up because I'm being really slow and it's 9 o'clock at night and I've not eaten all day.
Oof.
So I put President over Phil Spencer over my own self.
Where would you rank this on a scale of 1 to 10? Just each of you give me your best hot take. Where is it at? 1 to 10. How's Xbox doing?
Well, how that's two different questions. So are you just ranking the showcase or how Xbox is doing?
Both together.
I would give Xbox a 7. I think that they had a really good end of last year. It's really cool that they're actually dipping into the Japanese gaming market and they're actually doing something with that now. There are some games I'm interested in, but a lot of the games I really, really want weren't in the showcase.
Fable,
Avowed. There's a whole bunch that are still unannounced from like the 1,000 studios that they own now. and so for the showcase, I'd probably give it a 6. I mean, it wasn't bad by any means, but there was not a single game there where I was like, oh my gosh, I have to have this. So that's how I rank it.
How about you, Andrew? Where are you at on this?
So Xbox and thus Microsoft, I'll give them an 8 for Game Pass because they're doing audience capture. And they're achieving what they want.
You're saying their evil business practices get an 8 out of 10.
Yeah. For the actual showcase, based off of like what I'm interested in and how the game, like what it showed, I'm actually going to say like 3.5, 4 out of 10.
Okay.
Because like the only game I really cared about was Starfield. And I felt like the reveal was lackluster. Mainly because I don't want to see a barren planet as the gameplay footage. I mean, it had a lot of positives with, I guess, the customization aspects for, like, the spaceship and outposts and everything, which I think are a cool mechanic. but at the same time, given what they showed for the gameplay footage, I was more like, I hope they kind of bring some of that towards Elder Scrolls. Because I want to know more about that game, too, that's coming in the future. But yeah, so the showcase, I didn't really find anything great. But Microsoft's game business model going forward is clearly working for Game Pass. I don't know how sustainable it is, but for the customer acquisition phase, they're kind of, yeah.
Knocking out of the park.
My hopes for this showcase was too high.
Yeah.
Sorry, going. I completely talked over you.
That's fine. That's basically, I think what you wanted is, I was expecting it to at least go more in that direction, and that's why I'm giving it the 3.5 to 4, because I don't think the showcase itself was anything special.
All right, Spencer, your turn as the newest Xbox owner of the group. Where would you rank this show? Do you feel like your Xbox purchase was more worthwhile after that show or before that show? Or neither, really, I guess.
Definitely not. It didn't go down. I didn't go, oof, this thing's going to the pawn shop. I think they did the best job they could and any other publisher has done at showing what they have. And I think their messaging was that, I still think the state of play was bigger, but because that was a lot tighter and a lot shorter, I don't think that's fair. I still think the state of play was better, but I think out of all the long shows we've seen, this was the best one of those we've seen recently in terms of what's their message, what's their focus, what are they doing? Because I love Sarah Bond coming out saying, "Hey."
Is that all you got? Are you still there, Spencer? I'm sorry.
Was I just talking to nobody? Did any of my
answers? You cut out.
Yeah, you cut out.
Man, my phone is a big fan of doing this on there. So I think out of the message and everything, I think that they did the best job. I love Sarah Bond coming out saying, this is stuff from the next 12 months. We're going to show as much gameplay as we can. And they really delivered. Because there was a lot of stuff of this is cool to see. We're not going to see much more. I remember for me, the Diablo CG trailer could have been enough. They could have just stopped at that. And then just be like, we're going to show you all of this game, customization. We're going to show you end-game content. And then we're going to tell you, you'll see it next year. Especially while Blizzard has been in such a weird flux of just I don't know, man. I thought they did a really good job of hey, they showed 35 games in 90 minutes. As someone, like I mentioned, I went to the IMAX theater. I sat down and I watched The Rock sell me his energy drink on an IMAX screen. That was fun, but there was a lot of low moments there that got saved by a screen. I would have loved to have seen this on a big screen. I would have loved to have seen that Starfield demo on a big screen and stuff like that. Even the games that I'm not maybe 100% sold on right away, I have a lot of interesting questions. I think I'm glad to see how different Starfield is, and all there was no this looks really bad. The worst thing I saw today, outside of maybe an indie game that's getting ported to Xbox that I might not care about, the worst big announcement they had was Overwatch, and even that, it was big that they announced it was free to play. Because my whole thing with that game was, wow, if they really try to sell this game, they're going to be up a creek. So everything they did was hey, this makes the most sense. And no one had a bad showing. But at the end of the day, I know that there wasn't anything huge. There wasn't the Battle Royale announcement for Halo. I'm sure people wanted to see Avowed. I'm sure people wanted to get a teaser trailer of New Vegas.
That's another thing about the Halo thing. We know that is a thing. We know it's done. Where is it?
I think the Halo thing is more so just the fact that they're listen, guys. Halo's coming along slow. We know Halo's coming along slow. Let's just take a minute and enjoy some other games right now. Because Halo was a weird one. It launched at the highest of highs and it's been slowly getting ticked down ever since. So the longest roundabout of this, I would say, I think they did a really solid job. For given letter grades, I think they did a C+. This is a really high 7 for me. But it's just short of B. But because it was a tight 90, I don't feel like I had any of my time wasted.
Okay.
Fair.
and I'll be right back, but please continue talking.
I will continue talking. That's what I do best. the last thing I want to say about the show is I feel like Xbox is really nailing down their audiences. And if you look at the way things are paired up in the show, like if we go back to the order in which it was revealed, I never stopped talking. Thanks, Will. you can see like they picked the specific things. Like this was a big reveal. This was a big reveal. Starfield, we all knew was coming out, so it was easy to save to the end.
Fair. Like these are really big reveals. It's just not what I wanted, I guess. So like I'm being like a little kid complaining that I got chicken nuggets instead of chicken tenders. So
and that's what I'm getting at. Like at the end of the day, I think Xbox nailed it. I think that the amount of diversity in the games that they're showing today shows that Xbox is getting a grasp on the entire market with Game
Pass. You mean it's no longer just Call of Duty?
Exactly. It's no longer just Halo, no longer just Call of Duty. They are hitting every aspect of audience for the gaming industry all at once, all the time. And they are delivering a service that a lot of people want. Something that has existed in the ether with like Google trying their thing, Amazon trying their thing, but Xbox is actually nailing it because they are a gaming company with, you know, having the legacy that they have with Xbox versus PlayStation, Xbox versus Nintendo. I mean, this list is insane. If you told me last year the Xbox was going to have a showcase with this many games and we were going to complain because the games we still want from Xbox are not out yet, like that's ludicrous. Because before this, how many games were on Game Pass that we cared about?
I will say this generation is already 1,000 times better than last generation. Fall was better than the entirety of Xbox One. So again, like I'm saying, I'm complaining because it's not what I want, but I can appreciate that these are big games for other people.
It's like somebody's trying to give me cupcakes instead of a cake. I want the cake, but you know, I'll take a couple cupcakes.
I mean, Chris, it's definitely, you can tell that they're modeling it to have the genres like Steam right now. It's like, it's all about that Game Pass having everything you could want to like, to just be able to search based on a genre.
So I would give this show like an 8 out of 10. And I'm only taking away those last.
That's because of Persona, points. You guys. Let's take this with a grain of salt.
Yeah, no.
It's because they had Hot Wheels. The Hot Wheels showcase was pretty
cool. No, I think that grain the missing salt. Piece here was they didn't discuss Halo at all. How do you have an Xbox showcase with
updates? That's not true. To Halo? They had a little figure that showed that season 3 was going to come within the next year.
I don't know, man. I feel like after the last 2 years was nothing but Halo, I feel like you'd almost be worried about then going back to that thing of all Microsoft first party is shooting and driving. Like, I think, like, listen, Halo Infinite wasn't going to get sold any more copies even if they, like, showed off that Battle Royale mode. Like, we knew nothing was able to come out yet. So it was like, listen, give that team time, even though, to be fair, most people say they've had way too much time and not a lot has really been done. I think by comparison of other games, Halo is still doing fine. It has the ability to like have those big wow moments. We're just clearly not going to get them with Season 2.
Mm-hmm. You can still rebound Halo Infinite. It's just going to take a long time.
Yeah, go on, sorry.
It's going to take a long time and a lot of goodwill to the audience, kind of like Destiny.
I just realized what it was. I'm like, what could they realistically have done that I think Chris and maybe you guys would have wanted to see that could have been good? Unless they came out today and said, guess what, guys? Co-op is out today. There's no point in showing it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I still think you got to have something about Halo. It's Xbox. How do you not have any Halo in this at all? Like, I almost feel like
the realistic
they're
answer,
casting it aside.
The realistic answer is like, listen, something like Sea of Thieves getting a musical trailer that's really just an ad to play their new game. I mean, their new season. That's going to have a bigger pop than anything they could have shown for Halo. Mm-hmm.
That's a fair point. I mean, Sea of Thieves has turned into a really cool game. It took them a long time, but they have definitely proved the value of Sea of Thieves, and they haven't totally destroyed the audience that plays it yet.
So, Chris, I don't know. I don't think I could, like, obviously, I think Will and I are more on the same page with, we didn't really see the games that we would really want, and the games that we kind of are interested in that they showed or were a little lackluster in how they showed them. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know if what is it that makes you want to say an 8 out of 10? Because it's like, yeah, they have a lot of games, but it's just like, I feel like you still have to be like, okay, obviously Persona is new to Xbox, but is getting an old game for Xbox really?
That's where you're coming at this the wrong way. Persona 5 Royal is not an old game, and it was exclusive to PlayStation. And getting it on Xbox will drive some people back to Xbox, especially if they can get it on Game Pass and they know they're going to get 4 Golden and 3 Portable. Because those are expensive games.
I understand what you're saying, but like as a PC owner, right? I wouldn't get excited for a Sony game being released on PC.
See, it's funny you say that, but then look at every time a first party Sony game comes out on PC, it dominates the sales charts.
It does. Persona 4 Golden, when it hit Steam, was selling like bonkers.
Oh,
like,
I mean, I don't even mean that. I mean, like, look at God of War. God of War and Days Gone.
I know that. I'm just saying.
I'm not saying it's not going to be successful. I'm just like, it's going to be successful because people would like to play it. I'm saying it doesn't excite me because it's not new.
No, that's my point. I think honestly, I wish we almost could have started this Summer of Games stuff with a big disclaimer, like how Nintendo honestly does it, like since quarantine started. I feel like all these shows should have started with that little Nintendo disclaimer. Hey guys, COVID really pushed a lot of things back, so just set those expectations real far back. Right. Set a real low. We'll do the best we can. Because, like, I think if you go in, like, if you've gone into any of these shows with a, oh my god, we're going to get E3 moments, you're just going to be disappointed. Because this was the first, real year of we're getting stuff that started during, like, COVID. Like, last year, we had a couple of, like, pops of, like, oh, okay. But, like, most of that was just stuff that was delayed from 2020 that was planned years ahead in advance. Whereas, like, everything else is, like, there's just no way to really give people that, like, kind of heads up that probably is going to put them in the right headspace. Because otherwise, most people are going to go into this being like, oh, yeah, this is just Microsoft's E3.
Right. I just want to clarify, too, though. It's like, when it comes to those games like Persona coming over, it's like, yeah, everyone's going to be happy. It's a quality of life thing for everybody who wanted to play it. But it's like, at the same time, since it's not innovative anymore, because it's already been out for so long, it's not that, like, exciting thing that, let's say, Starfield should be, right?
What about for the three? I'm curious. If there's, what's one game that would have changed the show? Whether it be Fable. Something new from a developer or a game you wanted to see, what's a game you were like, God, I hope I see that here today?
Well, the problem is that this was supposed to be things coming out within the next 12 months, right?
Like, if they would have announced Fable at this show, that would have been insane because we've all been hearing development hell, all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
Actually said the developers have come out and said that no, that's bullshit.
I've not heard any development hell stuff about Fable.
No. I've already
that Rare game.
I have disproved a lot of rumors on that with our own News Swarm channel stuff. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is if they had come out and said Fable is launching in 2023 in the next 12 months, that would have blown people's minds.
I'll tell you what, you'll be lucky to see gameplay this time next year for Fable. Fable, I don't think people are aware of that. Not that anything's going wrong with it, that Playground Games just really... It wasn't like they were working on Forza Horizon 5 and Fable. It was like when they did that trailer, they pretty much just started working on it. And like with how big that game's going to be, I'd rather that like be 2 years away than come out next year and feel like a little bit half-baked.
I have to correct you on this, Spencer. I do have to correct you on this.
Please.
So when Playground Games started building a second studio 4 years prior to that announcement, mm-hmm. they started working on modifying the Forza Horizon engine to fit Fable. So although they weren't working on a game per se, they've been working on modifying and tweaking the
Forza Horizon engine for 3 years. Looking at how they've been hiring, the fact that like the team and the narrative stuff that they're still working on, like it makes me feel like I'd rather that, like honestly, if that came out next year, I'd honestly be like, are you sure it's ready? As of like, be like, hey, this is a long game. Like, take your time.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying they shouldn't take the time. I'm just saying they have been working on this game in the background for a while. Will knows too.
Yeah.
So I would say that would blow my mind if they said the game's ready. Because
I wasn't expecting. So as soon as they announced the 12-month thing, I was like, oh, we're not going to see Fable. So like, I was immediately disappointed because I knew it was going to come out by June of next year. But I was hoping for fall. I realized that I'm hoping too much for that. And that would have floored me. I would like to actually see some gameplay for Avowed. There's also a ton of studios that still don't know what they're working on. And I want to know what they're working on.
Perfect Dark would have been another one.
I'll be honest. Something that would have made this much better is if Starfield had focused on a wider array of gameplay footage instead of talking about the customization nonsense. And I say that purely because they showed with the Barren Planet. I know I'm beating this dead horse. But they showed the least taxing visuals for their gameplay. And given how Skyrim was released with visuals and some bugs and stuff, I feel like maybe, just maybe, I would like to see a little bit more proof of concept that they're not having a buggy release. I don't know exactly what date they have it slated for at the moment, but it seems like next 12 months they should have some solid alternatives to the Barren Planet to show.
Here you go, Andrew. Here's a screenshot from in-game. I can get it into this. Hold on.
Can I just say something really quick? I laughed so hard. It was either Pete Hines or...
I saw that, but that was lame. That one was lame.
Whatever person at Bethesda, by the way, said with a straight face, this year is going to be one of the biggest for Bethesda. And I'm like, I feel like you should have said the next 12 months. Because I would be like, what really is anyone doing this year besides playing Deathloop on Xbox with Bethesda this year?
Oh my gosh. Hey, I'm just glad nobody's pointed out that if you go into Xbox dev mode, you can already play Persona 4 and Persona 3 on the PlayStation 2 emulator.
I thought they patched that.
That would have been a brave thing to announce on stage.
No. I mean, like, for all the people covering the fact that Persona's coming to Xbox, we covered that years ago, like 2 years ago when the Xbox Series X came out, that you could technically put on dev mode and play the PS2 versions right now on the Xbox Series X. I think you were on that podcast. It was like me, you, Gnarly, LaRue. I think there's a few other people on there, and we discussed that.
Man, you want to talk about more niche than anything, people who use Xbox backend for emulator stuff. That's the that's the real hardcore people over there. I will say, I'm curious how you guys felt about this one. Were you all surprised that Forza wasn't this year? I thought if anything they were launching this year, Forza would be coming. I was surprised it got pushed to spring.
Isn't it a new studio working on it?
No, it's still Turn 10. They've been working on that for almost 4 years now, I think. It's been a long time since the last mainline Forza.
I think it's because they're giving more breath between that and Forza Horizon. I think because Forza Horizon 5 was just sold so well, and I believe is still selling really well, and they have that new expansion coming out, that they just pushed it because it's going to eat the same market.
Yeah. You can only release those games so often, let's be honest.
I mean, they used to have them every year, but I just think that because Forza Horizon has blown up like well past where it was before, they don't want them to ravage each other too much.
Well, I'm curious because like they are similar, but they are very different too at the same point. I'm wondering, Is this a game they sell or do they try to halo it? Where like, yeah, you can do Game Pass, but I feel like this is also a game that you could do free to play and just sell the cars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they do that, I hope that if you like the way that you buy it, so if you end up buying the game, you get the cars. Because like with Halo, I was really pissed because I still bought the campaign because I wanted it, wanted this disc and everything, but it didn't give me shit in the multiplayer.
That did make me mad. So let me counter you what you're saying, Spencer. I think honestly, it's going to launch $60 because it hurts Game Pass to have a free to play game out there on the market that doesn't require Game Pass to get it free.
Is Xbox ever going to go? Because obviously, I'd say almost half of the AAA publishers are already doing this. When's Xbox going into $70 games? Because like if Starfield's not 70, I'd be very surprised.
I think that they've made such a big deal about this, and people have complained so much about PlayStation doing it. I could almost see Microsoft just eating that.
True.
just to say,
converts people to Game Pass.
For me, because like I'm used to 70 now at this point, and I don't actually mind it just because I know how good we have it in terms of US pricing most of the time. That like I always am kind of surprised that there aren't more games like that, because obviously 2K stuff is all that way. Oh, also, shout out to this, because speaking of stuff that like I enjoyed that the show didn't have, zero sports games. And none of these shows were like, listen, guys, we've got the exclusive demo for Madden. I'm like I appreciate that, because like that's a big get for them marketing wise, but that never goes well in those shows. So I think like I was at least glad like they didn't have any FIFA, they didn't have any Madden or whatever. So it was nice to kind of have like those moments and stuff really sort of be like there was never like outside of like literally the only groan worthy moment I forgot existed. And thank God it was short when they fucking brought out Elder Scrolls Online again. I'm like, God, can we have one show without, like, one Bethesda show without ESO, please?
I'm actually sick and tired of that stupid game.
It's a fine game. It's such a meme. Like, literally, like, you remember, for years, the overly loud lady at every Bethesda show when they mentioned ESO, like, woo! Like, she was having, like, the second coming of MMO Christ.
See, I hate the game because I feel like it's taking away from them releasing a new Elder Scrolls, so.
Man, I still am so mad Bethesda ever announced 6 after Star. Like, why? It's not like you're making both at the same time. You're clearly not going to. You're clearly not going to have 6 ready for at least 10 years.
Yep, which is why I'm salty every time Elder Scrolls Online.
I'll say this though: the more I keep seeing Fallout 76, I'm like, oh, I forgot they were having an expansion this year. I like the direction at least Fallout 76 has been going. I'm like, that's cool that like they're going to new places. Like Pittsburgh's cool. I thought like that was both of those were for live service games. I liked how quick and painless they kind of were in terms of how much time they took up. Who wants to place a wager with me? I'm going to bet this is the last year they ever call this the Bethesda show. I bet they never call it that again. Because, like, let's be real, they probably didn't need to call it this time.
Hmm. I always thought it was kind of rude to the other studios. I realize that Bethesda is the biggest one at the moment. But, I don't know. It's like Xbox and there's, like, all these studios and there's Dennis Bethesda. It's just like the same level as Xbox. So I think maybe going forward, it'll be the Xbox Activision show.
That's gonna say.
Well, I don't think it'll be that. Did you all notice? Out of all the Activision stuff they showed, they never once showed the Activision logo.
It was all Blizzard.
Well, I just thought that was so interesting. Of like, wow, like we saw all that for Diablo in Overwatch, no mention of Activision. So I thought like that was kind of an interesting. Of like, hey, obviously they're not bought yet. But anything could happen, and I thought, no, it's pretty cool.
That is interesting, yeah. I'm also kind of curious and surprised now you brought up the sports game. They didn't show Call of Duty, did they?
No.
So that's another interesting one they didn't show.
That was one that I think made more sense at the Keeleys, honestly, just because of how that still has, remember, that is exclusive marketing through Sony. So, like, they're not going to kind of mention it more than anything. I wouldn't doubt it that they get that for Game Pass if that Activision deal goes through. I think that's a big ace up their sleeve this holiday they could do of that coming to Game Pass and blowing everyone's mind.
If Call of Duty comes to Game Pass, like Xbox consoles will be flying off the shelves. Game Pass subscriptions will be flying off the shelves.
If it comes to Game Pass, it'll be the most asterisks they've ever had on a Game Pass title. This will be how it works. If it comes to Game Pass, it is only next gen, no Xbox One. You have to do the next gen version, and like there'll be like other like weird caveats, because like they know like they can't just like give it to everybody. But like if you're saying you're giving away the Xbox Series X version, that's like cool. Here's 20 million copies. There's still 100 million we're gonna sell.
Fair enough.
I don't know.
So I think the last question, this is since we're already hitting that hour and a half right here, and I've actually passed where we wanted to go. I want to ask you guys one last question, and then we'll close it out. Do you think that PlayStation can even compete with Game Pass at this point? Or do you think that it's basically Xbox's game and everybody else is trying to catch up?
I have a really quick answer for you, at least on my side.
Sure.
They definitely are in the loser battle, and this is how you know. PlayStation Premium, oh God, and Extra, hate the name of it. The new tiers literally launches tomorrow, and no one's talking about it.
That's yeah, I was when they first announced it, I was like, oh yeah, Sony's going to compete finally. Like, it took them long enough to figure this out. And then they announced the tiers, like, oh, well, that's really stupid. And then I was like, well, obviously you want the top tier, and it's a little bit more expensive than Game Pass, so that's not great. But as soon as Xbox put that freaking app on the TV, I was like, oh, it's over. No, like, seriously, like, if you think they're going to put it on the TV, now that it's on your phone, it's on your PC, they're going to get it onto Switch or on the PlayStation, and it's just done. Like, that is Xbox now. So I don't know how they compete.
I think it's a curious question. I think it all comes down to who Sony decides to partner with, because I don't think them having their own thing is going to really work, because look at PS,
not for like, PC.
PlayStation Plus in general, they had to, like, I don't know, playing online has never really been Sony's bread and butter anyway. Look at how Xbox
I will disagree with that, only in the sense of their sales breakdowns. They have a higher attachment than Xbox Live does. Like, for whatever, I don't know how they market it to people. But like,
PlayStation Plus would give you free games every so often. You
get it's a free not even, game. No, honestly, like, PlayStation Plus is not sold off its games. Its games are usually pretty whatever anyway, much like games with gold. Yeah. But like, PlayStation Plus attachment, I think, mostly sticks because of how popular PlayStation 4 and 5 is, and those games that make you just have to play it. I think people just go, oh God, I want to play like Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 multiplayer, not Warzone, strictly multiplayer. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, all right, whatever, $50, there you go, take it. $60, there you go.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of the things that pull people into PlayStation aren't necessarily the multiplayer games. It's just something that you play because you have a PlayStation, and you don't have two other, like, you don't have.
I don't think people are buying PlayStation to play Call of Duty. They're playing Call of Duty on PlayStation because they have a PlayStation.
They bought it for like The Last of Us. They bought the PlayStation for Uncharted. They bought the PlayStation for, let's say, Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, they buy it for something completely different.
I think you guys would be surprised, I wonder, if there was, like, a survey. Because, honestly, there are way... Because, like, think about it like this. Do you guys know what the best-selling PlayStation exclusive of all time is?
Was it God of War or Spider-Man?
Spider-Man. Spider-Man has sold over 30 million copies. Most people come to PlayStation just because it is the one advertised in their face most, much like the 360 era. That's why having that like Call of Duty marketing priority is such a huge deal for them. Because back in the day, when there was exclusive modes, that would matter. It'd be like, hey, do you want to play Spec Ops? That's only on PlayStation. And that was a huge thing for people.
But where is Spider-Man for multiplayer online? Like, that's what I'm saying is people are coming for the non-multiplayer games.
Sony's whole thing, and that's changing now that they're focusing on live service. Sony's whole thing before, the whole PlayStation 4 generation has been, okay, if you want multiplayer, we're just going to get all the big multiplayer games that you want to come to us. Because they know that that's not their bread and butter.
Yeah.
Which was cheaper for them. But now that they bought Bungie, which still is weird to me, like, now that they have stuff like the live service Last of Us, I'm sure Guerrilla will do something eventually. They're working to kind of fill those gaps where, like, Microsoft has a lot of live studio partners that, like, no one's ever like, what will Microsoft do for multiplayer? It's like, no, we know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but yeah. I guess what I was trying to make, though, is I don't think Sony is trying to compete the same way. With this specifically.
I would say yes, only to the fact that Jim Ryan has literally now come out and saying this time next year they will have 10 live service games exclusively through them. So like they're definitely trying to get out of the we just make big God of War games because they know those are too big and too expensive and too slow to make.
I think I'll be curious to see what they decide to come out with, because no offense to the Xbox fans, but I do think that Sony is a little bit more creative. What, Will?
Nothing. I was just trying to whisper to other people.
we're getting ready to conclude this thing here. Yeah. And Spencer just wide open that topic. He's like, here's the waterfall. Let's jump off the
cliff. Yeah, I brought this up really, like an hour ago, man.
This is an open and shut topic. Don't mind me. Let's talk about Nintendo next.
No. We do need to do the Vita cast, though. Me, Andrew, and you, and talk about how much Andrew hates the Vita and why he's wrong in every way, shape, or form. But we'll get into that next time. Is there anything left for the Xbox showcase discussion?
All I have to say is I
sell game passes, not consoles.
I forget if you guys said, did you all say which one game you all wanted to be there or hope that was? I think we got to Forza, and then Forza brought us to like driving and driving to multiplayer.
Oh, yeah. Was there anything that Andrew would have wanted to see there?
I just was saying I wanted Starfield to be better.
So you didn't
want it to be No Man's Starfield.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I wanted it to showcase something that is like actually impressive, not something that you've already seen 1,000 times. And it's like, where's the innovation?
What was yours? I don't think we got to yours.
They actually had them. They had the surprises. They had random Koei Tecmo third party exclusive I never expected. That was all I needed, honestly.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, I mean, because I wasn't expecting a big first party thing from them. And even then, first party, there's that Obsidian 2D game. I was like, hey, that'll keep me interested. Mm-hmm. Like they surprised me.
I will say the one thing that did surprise me that wasn't there was that Cuphead expansion. I thought that was going to be in the show.
Mm.
I think giving that to Keeley made more sense because that's third party now. I think the Microsoft tie to Cuphead's gone outside of the fact that, because I the Delicious Last Course isn't even free on Game Pass. Like it's just,
I know it's not, but
everyone's going to have to buy that. And obviously this, you couldn't show a game at the show without Game Pass being involved. That was pretty much the rule.
Good point. Okay. Well, that being said, I want to thank you guys for going into overtime on this podcast with me, because we did discuss ending it about 20 minutes ago and then we didn't, but I appreciate Spencer joining in and adding to the conversation as always.
Sure.
Make sure you guys go subscribe youtube.com/torchwood4sp, because you know you can't have something simple like Spencer Presley or Philly Spencer, which he didn't notice I changed his name to that a while ago.
Working on it.
And I want to say I appreciate y'all being here.
Thank you, guys. Nice talking with you.
So, as always, I'm Chris.
And I'm Will.
And I'm Andrew.
And I'm Uncle Phil Spencer.
And we will see you
next CoCast. Bye, guys.